You. I want to talk about me.
Welcome back to the Bruce Salen Show, a dad's point of view. You can email me at bruce@brucesalen.com. That's Bruce and Salen, S-A-L-L-A-N.com. That's S like in Sam's. Our next segment is, in fact, Teen Rap with Pastor Drew Sams. Pastor Drew Sams has been the high school pastor at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village for the last 5 years, and he's also pursuing doctoral work through George Fox Seminary in Portland, Oregon. Pastor Drew and his wife, Erica, live in Westlake Village, California. Welcome to the show, Pastor Drew.
Bruce, thanks for having me back.
It is always a pleasure. We are talking about technology and how it has affected our relationships, parental and otherwise. And one of the things I had said at the end of one of the segments is the question is, technology actually improved my life? And so I ask you, as a just-turned 30-year-old, you've grown up with it. Do you believe it's made your life easier, better, or more complicated?
Wow. Can I say all the above?
Sure.
D in that answer, if it was a fill-in-the-blank. Gosh, I would say in many ways, of course, it's gotten better. I mean, the ability to, let's say, call a friend on a cell phone when my car has run out of gas, for example, and say, hey, I was on your way to your house and I've run out of gas, which happened about a year ago. And I was able to call him up. He was able to come pick me up and help me out. So in many ways, you know, that's helped. But keeping with the cell phone, for example, I've noticed, and I think we've talked about this a little bit in previous segments, is I think I'm more likely to be late to a meeting because I can just call and say, hey, I'm running late, I'm stuck in traffic.
Right, traffic is the great excuse, sir.
It is. So, you know, of course, in those ways, it's both good and bad. I really think that it's so essential to kind of self-evaluate the technology you use, and is it causing more harm than good? I don't know if did you see that video? There was a girl who was texting in a mall, and did you see this? It just came out. My wife this morning was watching the morning news, and I guess it's all over YouTube and all over the internet, but there was a young lady walking in a mall, and it was caught on a security camera, and she walked right into and fell fully into a fountain right in the middle of the mall because she was so focused on texting. And so now it's spread all over the internet, and I think she's actually suing the mall because the
invasion of privacy.
Yeah, and because it was released from a security camera, and they were laughing, they're heard laughing in the background instead of coming to help her. But you know, I've had moments like that where I'm so busy texting or on the phone or even playing a game on my phone, for example, that I miss what's around me. And the worst is when you're sitting across from somebody that you love, a spouse or a child or a friend, and you're so wrapped up in that technology right in front of you that you miss an opportunity right in front of you.
You know, I wonder, that brings up the question of parenting. You know, when we allow our kids to do that in our presence, are we basically condoning that kind of rudeness? Should cell phones and portable video games and such really be banned, say, from family interaction as a general rule? I haven't actually thought about that. My boys occasionally will use those devices while we're eating. Although it's funny, when we eat as a whole family with my wife, we have a no reading rule. When it's just me and the boys, sometimes we will all just choose to eat together and we'll each have our individual thing that we'll read rather than – and that's – I don't know. It's just something we kind of like to do. We all like to read when we're eating dinner together. But when I'm with my wife, I just somehow feel that that's wrong. So I don't know. I don't know. I'm wondering.
I think, you know, when I hear you saying that, I hear that there's – you know, you're contextualizing different situations. And I think every family's different. They've got to figure out their own rhythm. I know my brother-in-law, for example – he's a therapist and married with two kids, and they've chosen to, when they come home, when they have a meal together, there's a basket right by their front door, and they leave their cell phones in that basket. And they have to put it in the basket while they eat dinner, and then afterwards they can, you know, pick it back up and, you know, return texts or emails or make phone calls. But every night at 8 p.m., those phones go back in that basket so they can get the rest of the evening together as a family without any distractions from that technology. And that's worked for them, obviously. That's
actually a wonderful idea.
And there was he said, I was talking to him about it, he said there's something about the symbolic image of this basket that's saying, okay, we're going to choose to put everything that is contained in this technology just in this basket aside for just a little bit so we can have time with one another. It's not just putting it away, which you could always slip out of your pocket, you know, and check a text or a Twitter message under the table, but it's literally they put it in the basket and it's away from where they hang out. It's really helped for them.
I like that. The symbolism of that basket is communicating something beyond just, as you said, putting it away.
Yeah.
And that's actually very interesting. You know, I was thinking as we're speaking that in your job as a pastor at a very large community church, that the technology probably serves very well. I mean, I know attending services at your church, the technology to me is just marvelous in how it brings the service to life and the screens and the videos you make that you include, not to mention all the music and a lot of technology helps with that. But also I'm just wondering your message, the way you could communicate to your congregants.
Yeah, I think, I mean, technology has opened up so many avenues for communication. I didn't realize this, but a year ago I gave a message. It was the Friday right before Easter, so in the Christian church it's Good Friday, and I had no idea, but 2 months later I got an email from somebody saying, hey, just want to let you know, I have a friend who's actually in jail down in South America. They are a Christian, and they ended up getting wrongly accused of something. They basically flew supplies in and out of, I believe it was Colombia. And they ended up arresting them, saying that they were taking something else, and they were in jail. And somehow, I don't know how this happened, but somehow this message of mine, which we had posted on the internet, got down to him. And the theme of the message was basically being patient while waiting, and waiting in the midst of God's silence. That often God does amazing things after he's been, you know, there being a season of silence. And so I get this email 2 months later, being encouraged that this guy down in Columbia, who I've never met before, was able to hear this message, to watch it, and to be blessed by it.
Hmm.
So 2 months later, on a completely different continent, the fact that we even record a message, both visually and with audio, and to be able to archive that and to be able to spread that, is, I think, really transformed that method of communication.
Well, in the realm of charity, it has done that as well. As I've shared with you and my readers and listeners, I met these girls at a girls' school in Ghana, Africa, through Facebook, and got involved myself, my family, and my readers and listeners with sending them books to help build a library to the school. It never would have happened without technology.
Yeah, and I think what you've done is you've chosen to use this technology, which, you know, some people say, gosh, Facebook, it's evil, it's bad, you shouldn't go on it, you shouldn't let your kids on it. Some people say it's the greatest thing that's ever existed. You know, Zuckerberg was Person of the Year last year for Time. I think that it's neutral. It's how you use it, but it definitely has huge effects on you when you do use it. So there's an example of you using that technology, I think, for good, and I think that really is great.
Well, I would like to think that as parents, then it comes back to kind of the real theme of balance. Technology and all these things in balanced use will enhance our lives, and in balanced abuse or imbalanced abuse, they will be a deterrent and a distraction. So I think really, like everything, it's finding that middle ground will provide the best answer.
Yeah, and I think if parents were to ask themselves the question, okay, does this technology, is this something that I own and that I use, or is this technology starting to own me and it's starting to use me? You know, I've used that phrase, oh my gosh, I'm a slave to my email. That's when it gets bad, when
well,
the technology
that's,
is.
That's a great measure. That's a great standard to apply and ask yourself, or for that matter, ask your family. Do you think I am spending too much time on the computer? What is their perception? Because my family accuses me of that, and it is impacted how I use my technology, because if that's their perception, I can't say it's wrong.
Well, I agree, Bruce. I think asking your family and your loved ones that question, really, you're going to get a much more accurate answer than if you ask yourself.
Yeah, that's true. We are out of time. Where can our listeners find you, Mr. Pastor Drew? Mr. Pastor. Mr.
Both, I guess, these days. So yeah. Right now I'm blogging mostly at wewillsingonewsong.com.
That's all your new site, right?
Yeah, new site. And all my contact information is there, and my church's information as well.
Well, thank you again. We will talk next week, I hope, and I appreciate very much your insights, and it's a pleasure always having you here.
That's always a pleasure for me as well. Thanks, Bruce.
Okay, talk to you next week. It is time for another break. This is The Bruce Salin Show, A Dad's Point of View, and we will be right back with Family Financial Matters with Jim Sheinberg.
Just rope and throw and brand them. Soon we'll be living high and wide. My heart's calculating, my true love will be waiting, waiting at the end of my ride. Ooh, I'm out, hit 'em up.